May the words of our mouths and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or at cockcrow or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. Happy New Year. Today is the first day of the new church year, year B, to be exact, in the church's three-year cycle of years A, B, and C, in which this year the emphasis will be on the Gospel of Mark. But unlike the new year that starts on January 1st, this one comes in rather unassuming. There are no advertisements, no sales events, no parties or dinners the night before, no celebration on television, and no gatherings in the street. No one crowds into places like Times Square to count down to midnight and watch a ball drop, heralding the start of year B. It's not that kind of occasion. Even so, I can't help but reflect about the year that has just passed. In many ways, it was some year. A year that had more than its fair share of challenging events, as well as disasters, both natural and man-made. Immigration bans implemented in our country, targeting specifically people from Muslim nations. Undocumented people with no criminal records now targeted for rounding up, as well as the threat of the repeal of DACA, all sending fear and panic through many of our communities. Lucio Perez is in his 47th day of sanctuary next door at First Congregational Church, hoping to stay in this country with his family. Hate marched through Charlottesville, Virginia. Bullets rained down in Las Vegas, with 58 dead and almost 500 people wounded. In Sutherland Springs, Texas, 26 people were killed and another 20 were injured while attending church. The plight of the Syrians goes on, with suffering spreading to other parts of the Middle East. Mudslides in Africa took the lives of thousands. Earthquakes rocked such diverse places as Mexico, Iran, Iraq, and Italy. Wildfires raged in the West. Sequential hurricanes tore through Houston, Florida, and the Caribbean. And let's not forget the ongoing plight of Puerto Rico, whose current suffering is the result of disasters, both natural and man-made. It really was some year. So much so that in light of the gospel, one could be tempted to preach these are the last days and that the end is near. Jesus is at the end of his ministry and he is sitting on the Mount of Olives, across from the temple, a beautiful edifice on a spectacular 16-acre campus, whose destruction he has just predicted, in which not one single stone will be left upon another. Peter, James, John, and Andrew ask him privately, "Tell us when this will be, and what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Jesus replies, telling them about disasters, both natural and man-made. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs. In those days, there will be suffering such as has not been from the beginning of the creation that God created until now. No, and never will be. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Is this the end? Are we living in the last days? Is Jesus coming soon, very soon, like any day now, in clouds with great power and glory, to gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven? Standing here today, I cannot tell you that the end of time is near. Because I don't know, and no one is supposed to know when that will happen. And to be perfectly honest, I don't believe that the actual end of time is near. Let's face it. 2,000 years into Christianity, it's a little hard to believe in an imminent return of what I would call the cosmic Christ. Imminent return as in coming tomorrow or next week. Cosmic Christ as in coming in clouds with great power and glory to judge both the quick and the dead. Is Christ coming? Yes. Is he coming soon, as evidenced by recent earthquakes, wildfires, hurricanes Harvey, Irma, Jose, and Maria, the latest rounds of terrorism, mass shootings, and current wars and famines? No. Jesus' own words are a paradox. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows. Neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. I will be right back, but only God knows when that will be. It's hurry up and wait. That's the best Jesus could give Peter, James, John, and Andrew, as they sat on the Mount of Olives looking across at the soon-to-be-destroyed temple. And it's the best that he still offers to us today. This generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. But about that day or hour, no one knows. Neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Actually, that is the only thing Jesus could possibly offer any of us. He simply could not provide more information without destroying discipleship. What would it have meant to Peter, James, John, and Andrew, and the rest of that first generation of disciples if he was more specific and told them exactly when he would return? I'll be back March 2nd, 3047. With that kind of information, that first generation would have lost all hope. They would have had no reason to go on as they did in Jesus' absence. And the same is true for us. Would Christianity have survived? Would we be here today if the message was Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again, March 2nd, 3047. No. That is a day and an hour that no one ought to know, except the Father, in order that we may live now, and that we might have life and have it more fully. But as much as I'm willing to bet that the second coming of Christ is probably not happening in our lifetime, I do know that someday with God's help, I hope and pray that I pray that all of you will one day go to Christ, the day of our death, another day that is unknown, and that only the Father should know, so that we may live now and have life and have it more fully. But a day that is guaranteed. None of us get out of this thing called life alive. And just as the coming of Christ will be sudden and unexpected, so can be the day destined for each and every one of us when we are to meet our Maker. How do we prepare ourselves for that? For starters, I think we have to begin by asking ourselves, how do we measure a life? I don't know about you, but I don't want to be remembered for where I went to school, or where I happened to live, or where I happened to shop. When it's my time, when I meet Christ, I would hope that my life will be more than just a collection of hobbies or enthusiasms or work product. I'd like to think that somehow, somewhere, I made a little difference in this life for the better, and that my being here mattered. Don't you wish the same for yourself? Don't we all hope that our having walked on earth somehow mattered in the scheme of life? There are 22 days until Christmas. And I know how busy this time of year can be, but I offer the following exercise. In the midst of working, shopping, cooking, cleaning, entertaining, Christmas card writing, church going, as odd and as strange as it may sound, set a little time aside and write your own obituary, a statement of what you would like your life to be, a person of prayer, a person who served Christ in all persons, a person who loved his neighbor as himself, a person who was kind to the sick, the friendless, and the needy, a person who respected the dignity of every human being. This Advent, in preparation for going to or the coming of Christ, write your obituary. Write what you want your life to truly be, and then go live your life in order to make that statement a reality. And then keep that statement handy so you can check from time to time on how well you're doing. I think that is what Jesus means when he tells us to keep awake. In her book, The Year of Magical Thinking, Joan Didion explores an intensely personal yet universal experience, a portrait of a marriage and a life in good times and bad. She recounts the sudden and unexpected death of her husband and the tragic events of her daughter's life, who also dies tragically at a terribly young age. In her book, Ms. Didion attempts to make sense of the weeks and then months that cut loose any fixed idea she ever had about death, about illness, about marriage and children and memory, about the shallowness of sanity, about life itself. Her book opens with the following lines. Life changes fast. Life changes in the instant. You sit down to dinner, and life as you know it ends. Jesus said, "Therefore keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake." I wish each and every one of you a truly holy Advent. And in this new year, may we all keep awake. And may God bless us all. Amen.